Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie.
And I'm Art Malin.
And welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Brian down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we also have a great interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Jim Leahy. And lastly, some great walleye tips from walleye tournament pro Keith Cavias. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Over the river and through the woods, here come the newest Polaris models to Hayward Power Sports, just in time for the holidays. Get rebates up to $500 and financing as low as 2.99% APR during the Polaris Holiday Sales event. Tis the season for savings on the world's best-selling off-road lineup. Take home the Ultimate Trail Performer, Razor S1000, and get a $500 rebate. Grab a legendary Sportsman 570 and save $500. Or tackle the toughest jobs and roughest terrain with a new Ranger XP900 and haul home an easy $500. Get the gift you really want with rebates up to $500 and financing as low as 2.99% APR during the Polaris Holiday Sales event. See Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Offers valid in the U.S. through 12/31/17 on 2018 vehicles. Rebates and financing vary by model year, subject to credit approval. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of broad sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and Art, you know, it finally turned cold on us here.
Well, a week ago, we had a lot of snow. I had about 12 inches out at my place. I think you had about a foot of snow. The thing that bothers me a little bit, however, was this snow on thin ice is not good because it makes a blanket of insulation, so you really have to be careful.
And we're down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle. What have you been hearing as far as going on out there in the ice fishing?
People are catching them here and there off outside of the weed line. It's all over the board for the depths of ice. You know, like Art said, that the thickness varies from lake to lake.
Most of the guys after panfish now, or are you hearing anybody going after walleyes?
There's a lot of people going for both. When they come in, they get the shiners, the suckers, and generally a scoop of crappies.
It seems like the walleyes right now are very good on grindstone. I remember years ago I used to fish it right about now. And you could go out 40, 50 yards and get some nice walleyes this time of year. There's still feed in there. They're feeding. And that's kind of neat. And for those people who are fishing for small fish, all you have to do is look for green weeds.
You know, I suspect we're probably going to see better ice on the big lakes than we're going to see on the small lakes because it froze later.
Well,
you got all that rain on top of the ice that you kind of made a mess on the small lake.
I think it's a real mess. I've talked to a couple of people who have been out there. We're now in Muskie Bay.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of guys that have been working that bay pretty good. And, of course, the ice is about 5 to 7 inches thick in the bay. But out on the lake, I noticed about 3 or 4 days ago, I saw open water.
Well, yeah, but my point was, Art, is that Jim Leahy, I'll have on the next segment of the show, we'll talk about that a little bit, but my point was that you had that ice that turned bad from all that warm weather and that rain on top of it, where you didn't have that ice to turn bad, so now you're going to form new ice out there on the big water.
Once I hear this at night, I'll know it's making it.
Going to take some coal to do that. I know you guys down here at the shop have been pretty busy. I'd be quite a few guys still going out, though, right?
Yes. This afternoon, we've been selling quite a few bait. This weekend, we're having a lot of people come up from the southern part of the state to to test the ice.
Well, you know, and the thing is, they don't really have to go out over the main part of the lake. You can usually catch fish in some pretty skinny water, shallow water right now, and that's where you're going to find better ice. And if you do have a problem, it's not like you're in 20 feet of water.
And hit the smaller lakes also.
Yeah, you bet. And then smaller ones would be the better ones.
I think that's true. Did you talk to Frank Pratt recently? And he was on one of his little trout lakes that he likes to fish in the wintertime. And he can see the trout right through the ice?
Yeah, until our warm stretch came in the rain. Then the ice got really nasty looking and crumbly and stuff, and you couldn't see through there. So, and there was less ice, too. So, you know, and they got that, you know. And then we went into the late part of the bow season. I finally managed to shoot a small buck the other day. But that bow season will be going right up past the first of the year, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Hey, do you still got many guys going out or not, or do you hear much on that?
We're still getting hides coming in.
Yeah. I forgot to bring a hide in this morning. I was going to do that, too, come to think of it.
You'll remember it the next time you come to town.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to spoil. It's cold enough out there. You know, you guys are all geared up for stuff. You got a lot of stuff in here. If somebody's looking for Christmas presents for people and stuff, or even small items, like if they're just looking for little odds and ends.
We also have the gift cards, too, that they can choose.
Yeah, and the archery, you know, you're back in, you work the whole store, but the archery department, you kind of get into more than anything else. That's kind of expanded, too, quite a bit.
Yes, it has. We have a little shooting range in the back that people can dial it in, and a lot of crossbows. We sell the Matthews, you know, Mission products.
Well, I know, and that's one of the top-line products, I think, out there. In fact, there's nothing I don't think shoots better than a Matthews or a Mission.
That's very true. It's just a solid piece of archery.
And you got a lot of ice fishing gear in here too, if you guys are after it. And I know, look at Art, this store is a lot bigger than it was.
I was just thinking about that a little while ago. 2 years ago you wouldn't have seen what you see now.
Well, basically that's our new superstore here for fishing and hunting.
A lot of people enjoy the space, and each product has its own pin now.
Yeah. Well, Art, you know, we're gonna have to take a break here and hear from some of our fine sponsors. I've got a couple interviews coming up later in the show. Well, thank you for coming on here.
Thank you, Jen.
And we're going to be back here after we take that break with more on your outdoors.
Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Let Hayward Power Sports help you get yourself or give the ultimate gift this season, a new Polaris snowmobile. Buy now and make no payments until April. Plus, get rebates up to $1,200 on remaining Polaris sleds. Choose from the 2017 Polaris Indy, Rush, Switchback, XCR, Voyager, or SKS. Or check out the new 2018s at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Offer subject to credit approval and valid on select new Polaris snowmobiles. See dealer for details. Polaris recommends that all riders take a training course, wear a helmet and safety apparel, never drink and ride.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402. Or Art Malin at 715-865-2336. Or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com. And then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin. And Art, you know, one of the guys that back to guiding full time now, was working. He guided when he was younger, and then he got it working for a phone company up here, and then he went back to guiding, and his son guides, Jim Leahy, and very nice guy there.
I've known Jim for quite a while. He's a good fisherman. He's a good guy.
You know, and he had some interesting stuff to talk about when I was talking to him the other day about the ice out on Nelson Lake, some things that he's never seen in all the years he's been fishing up there. So let's hear what Jim had to say about that and ice conditions and stuff. And we come back, I've got another interesting interview and more on your outdoors. Jim, I know we're getting into another ice fishing season right now, and you actually got back to, you retired from your regular job and went back to guiding again. Now, we talked about that last summer.
Yes, and that worked out real well. I had a great summer and a real good fall with my bear hunting guide service, and now I'm kind of looking forward to doing some ice fish guiding.
Well, you know, you do quite a bit of that. So you've done that for years with that bear hunting stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's quite popular, it seems like. You know, getting back to the ice fishing stuff, I mean, we're, you know, you've been open water fishing last summer, but now you're getting into ice fishing. You made a comment to me the other day, you've never seen quite ice conditions happen like we've had going on as we're recording this.
Yeah, you know, we had some good ice in November on the shallow flowage style lakes and small lakes, you know, under a couple hundred acres, and it was quite fishable. A lot of guys were fishing, and I went out about four times, and I know we had anywhere from four to, in some shallow places, up to close to 6 inches of really solid ice. And then we got that warm spell during the muzzleloader season, and then we, even during the deer season, we had some time of weather that just, there wasn't being a lot of ice being made. But it really went bad quite quick, especially on Nelson, because that's the closest lake, and I do a lot of fishing. My son and I do a lot of ice fishing on Nelson. And I know, like I said, we were out there four times, and it was looking pretty good. And then during the deer season, we went out one day, and that was after the warm weather, and couldn't get on the lake. The north side of the lake was basically either open or just thin ice for up to 20 feet going out into the lake. Now, I'm sure there was 4 inches of ice after you got past that, but that kept us off the lake. And then this past Sunday, we went out, and you could tell that the ice had definitely aged and changed. And so we're using a spud, and we hit some ice, you know, over about 8 foot of water that was starting to get bad. It had gone from 4 inches down to about 2.5. So we stopped, turned around, and then we headed over to another area, and that's when we saw a big patch of open water on Nelson Lake, and it was extending from Tanning Point to the Big Island, basically the north side of the entrance on the Big Island. It was about a half a mile wide and about, in some areas, 500 feet wide, and it was open water. And I haven't seen that happen after the lake had been so tight, you know, previous, but ice is unpredictable, and that's when I called you to give you a warning that, you know, hey, that ice is now is going to develop differently than the other parts of the lake now, and that's going to be a hazard. So
yeah, you bet. You know, and I was talking to Frank Pratt the other day too, and Frank said he was fishing on one lake, and you know, before that warm spell, and he was actually, it was real clear ice, and he had 4 inches of ice or so, and you could actually see the fish swimming around below, and he says after that warm spell that went out there, you couldn't see through the ice, and it was real opaque and real kind of honeycombed, and it just, I think you're going to have a layer out there of ice that's not going to be good ice, so we need to develop some good ice there, and I don't know with this snow if that's going to help either.
Yeah, this snow definitely, you know, today I looked out there and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go out there and check that again, but yesterday, you know, it got hovering around zero, below zero in a few spots, so I'm sure that might have iced over. It probably did ice over, but, you know, it was a little windy, so who knows? It is what it is, but I want to look at that, because if that is all snow-covered, I'm thinking it's going to be an off-color snow, but that's going to be a hazard, because it won't be more than a couple inches, where everything else is 4 and 5 inches, and, yeah, you know, it's just...
I think it's good. People
got to be things that people need to be aware of.
Yeah, they got to be careful going out there.
Yeah, you know, and the fishing is good, and it's hard. Sometimes it's hard not to go fishing, but you know, if you are going to go, you know, you better really walk out there with the spud, really know your conditions, and maybe concentrate on some very, very shallow bays or something like that. Of course, that's not going to be very good for the panfish, but walleyes and northerns that would work, but. Yeah, maybe it's one of the, you know, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to be patient for a little bit and let this cold weather You know, hopefully we get some cold weather.
Well, yeah.
A little bit more ice.
Well, you know, and if you look at the last few years, we really haven't had really as much ice as normal. And the best ice fishing has been, you know, right around the holidays or after. So we, you know, getting this early shot got everybody kind of worked up and wanting to get out there. But, you know, the ice conditions are just, you know, they're not there. I know I've talked to people that are going out and said, you know, they're going to wear a floating ice suit for sure or a life jacket. So, you know, you want to take a lot of safety precautions if you are going to go out on that ice. And there really is no such thing as safe ice anytime. You want to be careful any time you're out there.
I agree with that 100%. Another thing that I always tell my boys to do, our boys to do, is have like a screwdriver with a ice pick or something in your pocket that you know, and make sure that it wouldn't fall out, and that would at least get you to drag yourself back up on the ice. It's just something simple that could save your life, you know, but when you have to start worrying about going out with, you know, canoes and ropes and all that, then you probably shouldn't go ice fishing.
Probably not, you know, I'm in that boat totally up with you, you know, and I think this year, this last year was actually a pretty good fishing year, although it was a little bit weird. I mean, I talked to Tim Duffy about that here a week or so ago on the radio show, and you know, it was just a totally different year, and I don't think the winter is not going to be a big surprise if it's you know, starts out that way.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, last year I know that we put our ice shack out. It was into January before we could actually haul that out there with a pickup truck, and there was I remember this, somebody that went out just before Christmas last year, and they took one out with a Ranger, and then we got that rain around Christmas last year, and that shack that they put out there sunk, and that was on Nelson. So I mean, the weather, even if you know, have like 8 or 10 inches, well, that the weight of a shack or something, and you get like 4 days of weather that, you know, 40 degree weather where you have some rain and stuff, then you're looking at, well, yeah, you might not fall through the ice because, but your shack is sitting out there, and that's a problem when your shack goes under. So, yeah, there's a lot of, I'm just hoping for some really good cold weather, and that everybody is safe out there, because I know over in Minnesota there's been some fatalities already, and several people going in and out. Haven't heard a lot about Wisconsin on the Wisconsin news, but I'm sure it's happening here as well.
Well, you know, the fishing ain't worth your life going out there. You can buy fish in a grocery store if you have to, and if you really have to fish and you go out there, there's a lot of open water below dams you can go try to fish too, you know, so there's fishing opportunities out there if you want to get out.
There is. There always is. But safety, you know, definitely number one, but as long as, you know, I've been in Hayward since I was a young child, and I've seen a lot of ice conditions, but this kind of surprises me with the open water on Nelson after it was, because Nelson was always the lake that was, oh, that's safe ice. Not this year. So
no.
That means, you know, maybe the other lakes, the deeper Clearwater lakes, they might even develop a little quicker because they didn't develop early, you know, and they didn't have the snow, but it's hard to say. But I know, I've heard that there's about 1.5 inches on Round right now, and I didn't hear any reports on Grindstone, but I'm assuming it's probably about the same, but it's definitely unsafe ice for ice fishing.
You bet. Well, Jim, I want to thank you for taking the time to share this stuff with us. If somebody's looking for guide service, you want to give out some information how they get a hold of you or Tom?
Yeah, you can call me at 715-634-0429 or Tom at 715-558-6755.
Well, thanks a lot.
And we normally guide together, so when you're getting a day with us, you're actually getting two guides. So
okay, well, thanks a lot for talking to us, Jim.
Yeah, you have a great day. Thank you.
Well, you know, it was interesting enough, and we talked about earlier in the first show here, the ice conditions. You go out there, you want to be real careful.
You know, it's funny, John, but I think that somebody else said that somebody had gone through one of the lakes near here already and didn't die, but boy, I'll tell you, you just have to watch yourself.
Yeah, you do. I mean, there's any time, later in the year, too, you can have soft spots on the ice any place, spring holes, a lot of different things.
You talk to any DNR warden, they'll tell you, if you don't know what you're doing, you may not want to do it.
Yeah, you bet. Well, you know, we're going to take another break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors. Come back, I've got an interesting interview with one of the big-time walleye tournament guys, talking about some things about walleye fishing in the winter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
OC Outfitters has everything to keep you warm and active this winter. Clothing, socks, boots, and outerwear, plus a full selection of ice fishing equipment, including Mr. Buddy propane heaters, minnow buckets, ice shacks, tip-ups, jig poles, and, of course, live and artificial bait. All this and much more, including alfalfa and deer corn, at OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open daily at 8 a.m. Call 715-634-1044.
Cold weather is here, and that means that many take the opportunity to winterize their vehicles. Dr. Todd Ostrander and the staff at the Hayward Animal Hospital urge you to clean up spills of oil, antifreeze, and other chemicals left behind by your vehicle. These fluids have a sweet smell and flavor that animals love. Multiple organ failure can result from even the smallest amount of antifreeze. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. For an appointment, call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin. Archie, when we talk about jigging, a lot of guys want to be real subtle when it comes to walleye fishing. Just very slow movement and everything else. But now there's a big thing going on where in the summertime and even in the wintertime where, you know, you're moving that bait, you're attracting fish, getting a reactive strike.
Yeah, that's true. And it's strange. In the wintertime, It's always been my experience. It's not consistent. Sometimes a lot of movement is good, and sometimes little movement is good. You just have to kind of flush it out.
Yeah, you got to kind of experiment on it. And I had a chance to talk to Keith Cavias, who partners with Gary Parsons, talking about that. And he's going to talk about that in this interview about lure movement. So let's hear what he has to say, and we come back, we'll have a wrap-up on the show. Keith, you know, when it comes to walleye, lure action makes a difference in the wintertime.
Yeah, it makes a big difference, and like you said, you're limited in with ice fishing to that, you know, 8 or 10 inch hole. So a lot of times you've got to do things to entice that fish. You know, like you said, in the summer we can jig and pull a jig back, or cast a crankbait and pull it back, and kind of have different actions on it. And you really got to think about doing that too when you're out ice fishing. So two things that I've started to do a lot, or not started, but do a lot for ice fishing is, one, you can pick baits that actually will have an action outside of the hole. Typically what those are called is like a glide bait, a jigging rapala. There's something called a moonshine minnow, shiver minnows. They, when you pull on the bait, they actually jump to the side or glide out, and then they come back and sweep back into the hole. So they actually have some action outside of the hole. And that can be very, very good for attracting fish. The other thing, though, to really consider is the way that you can attract a fish is in an upward direction. And a lot of people don't realize it, but a walleye will actually chase a lure a long way up. A lot of times they'll see that fish on their screen, on their depth finder or whatever, and they think they got to get right in front of it and kind of entice it and jiggle around right in front of it. But actually a very good thing to do is actually pull it away from that fish. When that fish thinks something is escaping from it or getting away from it, many times a predator fish like a walleye, that's when they'll want to hit it. So if you're fishing with a spoon or you're fishing with a jig or anything, and that fish comes in and you jiggle it a little and they don't take it, the first thing you should always think about doing is lifting that rod tip up about 2 feet, jiggle it some more. Hopefully that fish will chase up after it. If it does and it still doesn't fit, still doesn't bite, actually, I a lot of times have to start reeling my reel because I run out of places for my rod to go, and I lift it even higher. I've had fish come up 10, 12 feet off the bottom before they finally think, I better hit this or it's going to get out of the hole, and they'll hit it coming up. So think about action when you're ice fishing, but again, you don't have all the options of summer, but you can make lures jump out of the hole, and you can also raise them up in the hole and a lot of times get them to bite.
Well, it's interesting, and you know, we've seen that in the summertime here. You know, things like jigging wraps and stuff has been the big deal on walleye fishing, it seems like. You got a couple things here coming up?
Well, this is for the youngsters and for the women that you might want to think about books that could inspire them. H is for hook. A Fishing Alphabet. That's an interesting book. Owl Moon is an interesting book. Hometown Hunters. The Legend of the Ghost Buck. Very good. Where the Red Fern Grows. Lucky Luke's Hunting Adventures. These are just a few of the books that are out there for your youngsters that you may want to get that book in front of them. And some of the gals might like these books too. Women seem to read a little more than guys.
Well, it seems to be that way. You know, first things to do in the wintertime besides ice fishing, we cover ice fishing quite a bit here, but you got one of the things I'm going to talk about here real quick, you've got some winter pheasant hunting for a while yet, and some of the state areas, they wound up having more birds than they thought, so they're stocking a lot of birds out there in some of these state areas, and there's some of them that are just not that far to the south of us.
I think if you go down just by Eau Claire, you can get into it.
You bet you can, and I've talked to guys that have been down there, and they said it's actually a nice area.
Well, if you didn't want to do that, if you want to just buy some pheasants and go out and shoot them, you can do that here, too.
Well, yeah, but you can also go out and do it, you know, the small game season is still open,
right.
You know, and, you know, you've got a lot of different things. And predator, we've talked about that. But, you know, you've got some things about winter fishing trips. There's always guys around here to get together in groups that seem like the some of the guys here at Hayward Bait and Bottle, they make a Dakota trip usually, and some of the guys go to the Lake of the Woods. They just get together and just a guy's trip and make a trip to one of these more bigger water areas for ice fishing.
I've got a friend that goes to Winnie every year about this time for perch, and they bring back a lot of perch, pretty nice size too.
Well, you know, and that's one of the things we've talked about on the show in the past. We used to have some big perch here too, but they just can't survive here. It's just too much angling pressure and not in the big enough water.
I may have said this on one of the previous shows, but about 15 years ago I found perch where they spawned in Couderay, and unfortunately a friend of mine told somebody else, and all of a sudden there were seven or eight guys out there fishing the next day and the next year, and the following year there were about 15, and the year after that there weren't any perch left.
No, you bet. Well, you know, talking about fishing, walleye stocking, and you know, we've been big supporters of from the day one of the walleye from Northwest Wisconsin, and some of the things they've done, I think they probably were one of the key instrumental things in even getting the state to go into the extended growth walleye stocking. I think the state knew that it was effective. I think it was just a cost factor. And, you know, when you had clubs doing it and they weren't doing it, I think they had to get into it to do it. And this last year, from the looks of it, they stocked nearly 900,000 walleyes in the state.
You know, that's a big number when you stop to think of it. But you got to kind of say thanks to the governor for what he's doing in this particular area. I've never seen this in Wisconsin, where a bunch of money was set aside for a personal kind of situation. Here it was walleyes. Here it was raising extended growth walleyes, because you're going to get a better result on the numbers that make it.
Well, yeah, but it's not really necessarily a personal thing, because this is a big deal up here. It's a tourism is a vital lifeblood of this area in northern Wisconsin, and they're finding out that for some reason, whether it's climatic change or whether it's harvest or whatever, I think it's a combination of all those things, our walleye populations were kind of dwindling down, and now we're seeing a dramatic comeback because of this extended growth program.
Yeah, you and I saw the governor a couple of years ago. We had a little interview with him, and we talked about this program. He's really into it. I like that.
Yeah, good. And the good news is this has been extended, the funding for it, for another year or two here.
2018, 2019 biennial budget, I think it's still in there, and who knows? Hopefully it'll be beyond that.
You bet. So that's just one other thing. I don't know if you got any last-minute things here to talk about.
The thing that really made me kind of surprised, John, is the fact that there were 1,500 kids who were under age 9 who hunted in this last year's deer season. But this is more interesting. 10 kids got licenses who were 1 year of age or younger.
Anyway, you know, we're out of time for this week. This is Christmas weekend. I want to thank everybody for listening, and I hope everybody has a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year coming up.
Well, and we both want to thank our sponsors for making this program possible. We really appreciate it.
You bet we do. Folks, we're out of time for this week.
Take a youngster fishing.
And remember, if you miss a show, you can get that show on our website at wnoradio.net, where we podcast it for your convenience.
We're out of time for this week, and we'll see you again next week.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.